Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, words are hard sometimes. I don't know if you've ever run into this. I like to think, you know, I went to college. I have a master's degree and stuff. But words still get me mixed up sometimes. Some of my friends hate it. Yeah, I say words wrong. I say especially. And it really grinds people's gears sometimes, especially if they think they know better. I say words funny, water, naked, I don't know. It's just what, I say funny words. I don't know. I don't know where they come from. Sometimes, you know, I say it on purpose, and then like ironically or maybe unironically, see, I don't even know. What, it just becomes a thing that I don't even realize I'm doing anymore. Words can be tricky. And then we start to interact with people that don't necessarily speak English as a first language. You can get yourself into trouble. I heard Jan tell a story this week, and I'm actually going to tell it. It's okay, I promise. Right? I don't want to tell a story that's not mine. But it's a good story, so, and it fits. So this is Jan's story. So one day, apparently Jan was at work. And there was some big to-do that they were planning for, and they were at that planning stage where everything was done until the next time something needed to be done. You know, in that part of the planning, everything's good until you gotta actually do it. And so Jan says to her boss, who I assumed in the story was not a native English speaker, "You know, everything's good, but if something comes up, just holler at me." And this man, this boss, had no idea, like, why would I holler at you? I'm not a hollerer. I don't holler at people. Yeah, if something comes up, I'll come get you. That will be fine, but I'm not going to holler at you. And Jan's like, "No, no, it's okay. This is what we say. If you need something, just holler." Words can be tricky. It can be confusing if people are hearing one thing when you're meaning something different. And I don't think y'all even got into hollers in the mountains. That probably would have just been, woo. Who knows? In North Carolina, they would say carry. I wrote that in the email. It's just a little, who read the email? If you need somebody to take you to the to the grocery store. Hey, can you carry me to the grocery store? Like, no, I'm not like Mr. Universe. I have a car. I'm not going to carry you to the store. Hey, do you want me to carry you home? Dude, if it's that much problem, if it's that big of a deal, I'll just walk. It'll be fine. Words can be tricky. If you say one thing, somebody hears another. And that's exactly one of the things that's happening in our scripture today. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He is a learned man. He knows the scriptures. He is someone who has dedicated his life to being connected with God and to living in a relationship with God. And then this Jesus comes along, and Nicodemus is wondering, what's going on? There's been some talk among the rest of the Pharisees. Who is this person? And so Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night because he doesn't want all of his buddies to know. He's fraternizing with the enemy, I guess. He has questions, these burning questions about who Jesus is. And so he comes to Jesus. And at first, the first time I read this, it almost felt like Nicodemus was buttering Jesus up. Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who's come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do apart from God. If somebody said that to me, I would like feel pretty good about myself, right? We know you're somebody special. No one can do these things that you're doing if they're not from God, if they're not special. But I don't think it's just simply Nicodemus buttering Jesus up. I think it's Nicodemus confessing that he recognizes Jesus as this special person. And if Nicodemus' name sounds familiar, it's because he shows up later in the Gospels as well. Later in the Gospel of John, when Jesus is being arrested, when the Pharisees are looking to arrest Jesus, it's Nicodemus that steps forward for Jesus and says, wait a second, this man needs a fair trial. Let's make sure we give him the opportunity to speak and tell his side of the story, when all the rest of them were ready to just cast Jesus aside. Nicodemus stands up for Jesus. After Jesus is crucified, Nicodemus is one of the two people that take his body down from the cross and go and put it in the tomb. Nicodemus is this person that recognizes who Jesus is. Even if he doesn't fully understand what that means, even if he's not all the way convinced, even if he doesn't see who Jesus is clearly, he recognizes Jesus as an important and a special person. And he lives his life accordingly. And he seeks out Jesus, even if it's at night. And so as Jesus begins to talk to Nicodemus, I almost feel bad for Nicodemus because Jesus kind of goes on a little tear here, right? Nicodemus is just asking little questions. Did you ever happen to, like, with you and one of your parents, you ask a question and then you get to hear a lecture? That ever happened to anybody else? You're nodding your head. Yeah. Happens all the time. I just want to know why I can't go out tonight. And then I got to hear this whole story about who knows what and everything, how bad my friends are, how dangerous riding in a car without a seatbelt. I know to wear a seatbelt, Mom. I just want to know if we can go to the movies. Poor Nicodemus, he asks this question, and he gets this entire thing back from Jesus. Jesus says, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Now here's the thing. Jesus didn't speak in English. The people that wrote this didn't write in English, right? We know that. I hope that's not earth-shattering to you this morning. Right, we're good? Right. The Greek word that Jesus uses that's written down here can also mean anew. So Jesus says, you have to be born from above, and Nicodemus hears, you have to be born anew. Same word. Jesus means one thing, and Nicodemus hears another. And understandably so, Nicodemus is confused. How can somebody be born a second time? It's hard enough when you're a little tiny baby to come out of the womb. Now you've grown. That's, no, That's impossible. How does this happen? And Jesus, and not even so gently, just keeps pushing back. You cannot enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. And then we start to get another one. The Greek for spirit is the same for wind. So when Jesus says, the wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes, he's speaking on two different levels. The wind, that cool breeze we can all feel, you can see it moving the leaves, moving the trees. The wind, what a beautiful metaphor. We don't know where the wind comes from. We don't know where it's going. Sometimes we can see it hit a building and it like takes a curve or something. We don't know what the wind is doing. And so there's that surface level that Jesus is speaking on. But there's the deeper level of the spirit. Jesus uses the same word. We don't know where the wind is coming from. We don't know where the spirit is coming from. We don't know where it's going. You don't know where the Spirit of God is coming from. You don't know why the Spirit goes where it chooses to go. But if you're attuned to it, you can see the effects of it. You can feel the Spirit interacting with your life. But you don't know why or where. You simply have to be aware of the effects of it. And poor Nicodemus is just so, how can these things be? I could just see him like throwing his hands up. Dude, it's late. Just give me a straight answer, bud. Why do you have to be the way that you are, Jesus? I just want to know. And then Jesus again gives him the lecture. And we get down to our favorite part. Well, raise your hand if John 3:16 was the very first Bible verse you ever learned. Top five. I feel like everybody's top five. It's OG, right? Absolutely. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. What a beautiful message. What a great encapsulation of the gospel. God loves us so much that God sent his only Son so that anyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. What more do you want? But then also, there's this second part that we don't always throw in there. And that's verse 17 that we ended on. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Have you met people that use Christ to condemn the world? Have you met people that use what should be the single greatest message that has ever been shared as a way to condemn other people? God did not send the Son into the world to be a way that we divide one another, to be a reason that we put others down, to be a reason that we hold on to and hold up in a big sign and say, you're not okay. God sent the Son to save the world. And even that word, save, we talked about this a lot in Sunday school. Even that word saved misses the mark a little bit. Because saved is a one-time thing. Somebody saves you from a burning building, you're free. You're out, right? Somebody saves you from drowning, they might still have to do some work on you, a little CPR. But you're out of the water. You're saved. This word here is more to make whole, to heal. And that's not a one-time thing. Even in all of our medical advances, we don't have any magic wands. I love Star Trek, right? We don't have any tricorders. We just heal people. It's a process. You break your leg, it's got to be set. It takes a while to heal it. You have surgery. It takes a while for that to be healed. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might begin to heal through him. That our relationships with Christ and with one another might begin to be healed through Jesus. It's a process. It's not a one-time, come to the altar, the preacher will say a prayer over you, and you're good to go. It's living in a community. It's celebrating life with one another. It's being there for those in our lowest, darkest times. It's community. God sent the Son into the world that we might begin to heal. Let us begin to heal through Christ. Amen.